Hey everyone, get ready to hit the slopes because today we're deep diving into the world of skiing. And you might be surprised to learn that this sport has been around for centuries.
A long time.
We're going to be exploring a book from 1905 called Ski Running,
Okay.
which chronicles the early days of this amazing activity.
It's incredible how skiing evolved from a practical necessity to a beloved pastime.
Yeah.
You know, long before ski lifts and fancy gear,
Yeah.
people were strapping on skis for purely practical reasons.
Wow.
Imagine navigating snowy landscapes centuries ago.
I can't even imagine.
Or lying on skis for transportation.
That's going to be tough.
It was.
Yeah.
It really was.
It's hard to imagine getting around without cars or even proper roads.
Oh, yeah.
Were skis the only option back then?
Well, there were snowshoes. But the book makes an interesting distinction.
Oh, really?
Early snowshoes were like flat platforms designed for walking on top of the snow.
So you're just trying to stay on top?
Right.
Yeah.
Skis, on the other hand, were designed to glide, allowing for smoother and faster movement.
So it's not just about staying on top of the snow, it's about efficiently moving across it.
You got it.
That makes sense.
Exactly. And the designs of these early skis were incredibly diverse.
Oh, wow.
Reflecting the varied terrain and purposes.
Makes sense.
The book mentions the Lap Skridsko.
Hmm.
Which sounds like a long wooden shoe, almost like a clog.
Oh, wow, like a clog?
Yeah.
I can't even picture that.
Imagine trying to ski with those.
That's got to be hard.
It would be a challenge.
Yeah, were those meant for speed or just basic travel?
The book suggests they were more for practical use.
Okay.
Navigating uneven snow-covered ground.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But then you have these short, wide skis covered in reindeer skin for traction.
Oh, that's interesting.
Those were designed for hilly terrain and provided extra grip.
So they're really thinking about all these different types of terrain.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And if you wanted speed on open terrain,
okay.
It was the long, narrow, scare ski.
For going fast.
Built for gliding efficiently over packed snow.
Oh, wow.
Imagine those early skiers flying across frozen lakes and fields on those skis.
I can picture it.
It's pretty amazing.
That paints quite a picture.
It does.
So they had a ski for every occasion, but did any design emerge as the most popular or versatile?
Well, eventually, the Telemark ski design became the go-to option.
Okay, the Telemark.
What's fascinating about the Telemark ski is its ability to handle both hilly and flat terrain.
So it's good for both.
Making it incredibly versatile.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
So from ancient snowshoes to specialized skis designed for speed, traction, and versatility, those early innovators laid the groundwork for the sport we know and love today.
Absolutely. But how did skiing transition from a mode of transportation to a recreational activity?
Yeah, how did that happen?
That's where the story gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm all ears.
All right.
Take us back to the moment when skiing took a turn from necessity to pure enjoyment.
Yeah, I just did.
So we've established that early skis were all about practicality.
Right.
But when did people start skiing for fun?
Yeah. When did it become a sport?
Exactly.
Well, the book highlights the Telemarken region of Norway.
Okay.
Where the peasants who lived there turned skiing into a recreational activity.
That makes sense. They were already skiing out of necessity, so why not have some fun with it?
Exactly. They started organizing competitions and races, testing their skills and challenging each other.
Wow.
Imagine these rugged mountain folk flying down the slopes, pushing their limits just for the thrill of it.
So they were just out there having a good time.
They were.
That's amazing how something born out of necessity can evolve into a beloved pastime.
It really is.
Did their skiing techniques differ from what we see today?
They did in some ways.
Oh, okay.
But some fundamentals have remained surprisingly consistent.
Like what?
The book describes how they used a single long staff for balance and braking, which is similar to how we use ski poles today.
So the concept of using a pole for support and control goes way back.
It does.
What other techniques did they use?
They had a fascinating technique called herringboning for going uphill.
Herringboning?
Yeah.
Ah.
You know how you sometimes have to walk uphill with your skis pointed outwards, forming a V shape?
Yeah.
That's essentially what they did, and it's still an effective way to climb slopes today.
Yeah, I've definitely done my fair share of herringboning.
I bet.
But what about steep descents? Did they have any special techniques for those?
Believe it or not, they would sidestep down incredibly steep slopes.
What?
Can you imagine inching your way down a mountain one ski at a time?
Oh my gosh.
Talk about nerve-wracking.
That's got to be scary.
It would be.
That takes serious skill and patience.
It does.
It's amazing how they navigated those challenges without the modern gear and safety measures we have today.
I know.
Speaking of challenges, how did they even find their way around in those vast, snowy landscapes?
Yeah.
They have maps?
Maps were essential,
Okay.
just like they are for backcountry skiers today.
Right.
But imagine trying to navigate without GPS or even detailed topographic maps.
Wow. So they're really relying on their knowledge.
They relied heavily on landmarks,
Okay.
their knowledge of the terrain, and even the position of the sun to find their way.
So they're really in tune with their surroundings.
They had to be.
That's incredible. They were like the original navigators relying on their instincts and observation skills to stay on course.
Precisely. And that brings us to another fascinating aspect of early skiing.
Okay, what's that?
Jumping.
Jumping.
You see, ski jumping wasn't about leaping over
Yeah,
obstacles, but rather about launching oneself down slopes.
down
It was
slopes.
a test of technique, courage, and a deep understanding of physics.
So it wasn't just about how far you could jump, but about how gracefully you could land.
Right.
That must have taken some serious skill.
Absolutely. The book talks about a concept called the sats,
The sats.
which is this crucial forward swing that propels the jumper and sets them up for a smooth landing.
Okay.
Imagine swinging your body forward like a pendulum, using that momentum to launch yourself from the slope.
Wow. Okay, I can picture that. It's like harnessing your own energy to create the perfect launch.
Exactly. And the sats was just one element of early ski jumping.
Right.
The design of the jumps themselves evolved over time, from natural dips in the terrain to more elaborate structures.
Okay.
And even back then, there were style wars.
Style wars.
Some skiers swore by keeping their feet level,
Okay.
while others argued for having one foot forward.
Oh, wow.
It's like the snowboarders versus skiers debate, but way back in the 1900s.
It's amazing how those debates about style and technique have persisted through the ages.
I know, right?
So were they right
What do you mean?
about the one foot forward or level?
Oh,
Which
yeah.
one's better?
It depends on who you ask.
Oh,
It really does.
okay.
Some people will say one foot forward, some people say level.
Gotcha.
It just depends on the skier
Okay.
and their preference.
That makes sense.
But it is fascinating to see how those early style wars emerge, similar to the debates we see in skiing and snowboarding today.
It is, it's like those fundamental questions of style and technique transcend time.
They do.
But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about a different aspect of early skiing that you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Ski mountaineering.
Yes. Venturing into the mountains on skis.
Yeah.
That's where those early skiers' knowledge of the terrain and their respect for nature were truly put to the test.
Oh, right. It's a whole different ball game when you're venturing into the mountains where the terrain and weather conditions are much more unpredictable.
It is. And that's where those early skiers' knowledge of the mountains and their deep respect for nature truly shine.
Let's talk about that. What were some of the key considerations for those early ski mountaineers?
Well, safety was paramount.
Okay.
The book repeatedly stresses the importance of never skiing alone in the mountains
Okay.
and always having an experienced climber in the group.
That makes sense.
And they took avalanche awareness very seriously, even back then.
Right, the mountains demand respect, especially when you're dealing with the potential for avalanches.
You got it.
What kind of gear did they use for these expeditions?
They had to be prepared for anything.
Yeah.
So they carried essential gear like goggles
Okay.
to protect their eyes from the glare of the sun reflecting off the snow.
Makes sense.
And spare gloves were crucial because wet hands and freezing temperatures could be dangerous.
Right. Those sound like essential items, even for today's backcountry skiers.
Absolutely. They also carried provisions, of course,
Okay.
and repair tools in case their skis or bindings broke.
Wow.
Imagine being stranded on a mountainside with a broken ski.
That's a situation I'd rather avoid.
I think we all would.
It's amazing how resourceful they were, having to rely on their own skills and ingenuity to overcome those challenges.
They were true pioneers, paving the way for future generations of ski mountaineers.
Yeah.
And they didn't just focus on gear and technique. They also emphasized the importance of etiquette and camaraderie in the mountains.
So it's about more than just conquering the mountain. It was about respecting the environment and supporting each other.
Exactly. And that brings us to another practical challenge those early skiers faced.
Oh, what's that?
Sticky snow.
Yes. The age-old problem of snow clinging to the bottom of your skis.
Yeah, I know it's the worst.
I bet they didn't have high-tech solutions back then.
They didn't, but they had their own ingenious methods.
Oh, really? Like what?
One traditional technique was to attach seal or elk skin to the bottom of their skis
Interesting.
for better traction, especially when going uphill.
Oh, so they basically invented climbing skins.
That's right.
That's brilliant.
And they also discovered the benefits of ski wax, which helped prevent snow from sticking and allowed for smoother gliding.
I bet they were grateful for that invention.
They probably were.
But didn't they also use those animal skins for traction?
They did.
Did they use both methods?
It depended on the conditions.
Okay.
Sometimes they would use climbing skins only for specific sections, like steep uphill climbs, and then remove them for the downhill runs.
Oh, that's interesting.
They were constantly adapting their techniques and gear to the ever-changing conditions of the mountains.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're really resourceful.
They were.
It sounds like they had a deep understanding of how to work with nature, not against it.
Exactly. And that's a valuable lesson for all of us,
Yeah.
whether we're skiers or not.
So from the evolution of ski design to the development of essential techniques and a deep respect for the mountains, those early skiers laid the foundation for the sport we know and love today.
They did, and they left us with a rich legacy of innovation, adventure, and camaraderie that continues to inspire skiers across generations.
It's amazing to think about how their passion and ingenuity shaped the world of skiing. And I'm sure our listeners will have a newfound appreciation for this incredible sport the next time they hit the slopes.
Me too.
We'll be right back after a quick break to wrap up our deep dive into the history of skiing.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about those early ski jumpers.
Oh, yeah.
Launching themselves down slopes, perfecting that crucial forward swing
Right.
called the sats.
The sat, yes. And the development of the sats highlights how those early skiers were constantly refining their technique. It wasn't just about jumping, it was about jumping with style and control.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't just the technique that evolved, right? The jumps themselves changed over time.
Exactly. As the sport gained popularity, people started constructing more elaborate jumps.
Yeah.
They moved beyond those natural dips in the terrain and started creating structures designed for longer jumps and smoother landings.
Oh, wow.
As a testament to their ingenuity and their desire to push the boundaries of the sport.
It's incredible how they were innovating even back then, constantly experimenting with new designs and techniques. Did the book mention any specific challenges they faced in building these early jumps?
Well, they had to consider the slope, the snow conditions, and even the speed at which skiers would be approaching the jump.
Makes sense.
It was a delicate balance between creating a jump that was thrilling, but also safe.
Right.
They were learning as they went, making adjustments based on trial and error.
It sounds like a constant process of experimentation and refinement. And even with those early jumps, there were debates about the best style for jumping, right?
You got it. Some skiers believe that keeping their feet level was the key to a stable landing, while others advocated for having one foot slightly forward.
Oh, so which is it?
Well, it's fascinating to see those early style wars emerge, similar to the debates we see in skiing and snowboarding today.
Yeah.
There's always something to argue about, right?
Yeah, there is. So, did the book take a side in that debate?
It actually presented both sides, highlighting the pros and cons of each approach. It's almost like they were encouraging skiers to experiment and find what worked best for them. It's a surprisingly modern perspective for a book written over a century ago.
It speaks to the idea that there's always room for individual expression and innovation, even in a sport with established techniques. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about a different aspect of early skiing that you mentioned earlier, ski mountaineering.
Yes, venturing into the mountains on skis. That's where those early skiers' knowledge of the terrain and their respect for nature were truly put to the test.
You mentioned earlier that safety was paramount. Can you elaborate on the specific risks they faced in those mountainous environments?
Well, avalanches were a constant concern. They didn't have the sophisticated forecasting tools we have today, so they had to rely on their own observations and knowledge to assess the risk. The book actually outlined some rules of thumb they used to gauge the likelihood of an avalanche.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious. What kind of rules did they follow?
For instance, they considered open slopes over 25 degrees to be particularly suspicious, especially if there was fresh snow on top of a layer of older, harder snow.
Wow.
They knew that those conditions could increase the chances of a slide.
So they were developing a keen understanding of the factors that contribute to avalanches.
They had to.
It's amazing how they were able to navigate those risks without the benefit of modern technology.
They were pioneers in that sense, paving the way for future generations of backcountry skiers. And they didn't just rely on their observations, they also emphasized the importance of traveling in groups and having an experienced climber in the lead.
Two heads are better than one.
You got it, especially when you're venturing into unpredictable terrain.
Exactly. And they also understood the importance of packing the right gear. They carried essential items like extra gloves in case one pair got wet and goggles to protect their eyes from the sun and snow.
Absolutely.
Those sound like essential items even for skiers today.
They are. They also carried provisions, of course, because you never knew how long you might be out in the mountains, and they always had repair tools on hand in case their skis or bindings broke.
Right. It's like they were embracing the spirit of self-reliance, knowing that they had to be prepared for anything.
Exactly. And speaking of being prepared, let's talk about a challenge that skiers have faced for centuries, sticky snow.
Ah, yes, that frustrating feeling of snow clinging to the bottom of your skis. What did those early skiers do to combat that problem?
Well, they had their own ingenious solutions. One traditional technique involved attaching seal or elk skin to the bottom of their skis, creating more traction, especially for uphill climbs. It's essentially the precursor to modern-day climbing skins.
Oh.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, like they were using nature's own materials to enhance their skiing experience. Did they use those animal skins all the time or just in specific conditions?
It depended on the terrain and the snow conditions. Sometimes they would use them only for steep uphill sections and then remove them for the downhill runs. They were adaptable, constantly adjusting their gear and techniques to the ever-changing conditions of the mountains.
They were really resourceful and innovative.
They were.
It sounds like they were masters of working with nature, not against it. And they were always seeking ways to improve their experience, whether it was through innovative gear or refined techniques.
Precisely. And that spirit of innovation and adaptation is something that continues to drive the sport of skiing today.
It's amazing to see how those early pioneers shaped the sport we know and love today, from the evolution of ski design to the development of essential techniques and that deep respect for the mountains. They laid a foundation that continues to inspire skiers across generations.
Absolutely. And what's truly remarkable is how that spirit of adventure, that pursuit of technique, and that appreciation for the beauty and power of the mountains connects skiers across time. We're all part of that same lineage, sharing a passion for this incredible sport.
Well said. So the next time you find yourself gliding down a slope, remember those early skiers who paved the way, who embraced the challenges and joys of skiing with ingenuity and passion. And remember, whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the mountains offer a unique blend of adventure, challenge, and beauty that's waiting to be explored. Happy skiing, everyone!